Let's go to James. We're going to look at another aspect of this faith and works. We spent much time about Abraham's faith and offering, his works and offering up Isaac for a sacrifice.
I think James was ahead of his time. He seemed to speak more in modern English instead of old English. He was very direct. Easier to understand than Paul.
All right.
That would be my take.
Anybody have any other thoughts about the works versus faith? So the works of faith are what we're... What does it mean to have faith without works and faith with works? So let's go to verse... Well, we just to repeat it, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. There's only two people that are called a friend of God in the Bible. Anybody know who they are besides here?
Enoch.
Hmm?
Enoch?
Yeah. And so in verse 24, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? So let's go to well, let's do something interesting first. Let's go to Matthew 1. This is that, the genealogy. The book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Abraham begat Isaac. Isaac begat Jacob. Jacob begat Judas and his brethren. Judas begat Perez and Zerah of Tamar. And Perez begat Hezron. And Hezron begat Ram. And Ram begat Amminadab. And Amminadab begat Nashon. And Nashon begat Salmon. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rechab. Now Rechab is another spelling of Rahab. Joshua married Rahab, which is not talked about very much. But he...
But it was an earlier Rahab because...
No, it's the same Rahab.
Joshua was not... that's way too late because that...
I promise you it isn't.
Okay.
And you'll see that in this listing...
That's like one generation before Ruth.
In every one of these, I have gone through in the Talmud, and this is without question refers to Rahab. But it's the other one that's interesting. Well, let's not go there. I just wanted to show you that. Let's go back. Let's go to Hebrews 13. Is it? No. Hebrews 11. Well, start in verse 30. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she received the spies with peace. So let's just look at that for a minute. Go to Joshua 6, I think. To read the whole thing, but this is the fall of Jericho. Jericho was called the city of fragrance. It was in the most beautiful part of the whole country, and it was just all kinds of palm trees and flowers and date palms and everything inside the walled city. And remember, this wall was something on the order of 8 foot thick and 20 feet high. Something in that. I don't remember exactly, but it talks about it. And then on the outside of the wall facing outside, there were human skulls all over the wall that they had killed, and it just freaked everybody out. And so this was a fortified city like almost no other. You can imagine 2 feet taller than I am in width, and I think 20 feet high, and they had towers all over the place that guarded. There was no way that with the weapons that anyone could ever besiege that city and take it. So the instructions were that they were to encircle the city and march around it, blowing the trumpets, and then watch it fall down. So, but anyway, we're going to get to Rahab here. But Josh, in verse 22, but Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go in unto the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, as you swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and mother and brethren and all they had, and they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And then they burned the city with fire, all that was therein. Only the silver and the gold and the vessels of brass and of iron put they into the treasury of the house of the Lord. And Joshua saved Rahab the harlot and her father's household and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho. Now, let's go back to chapter 6 for a minute. No, it's too much long. It'll take too long. But the point of it is, when the two spies got to her house, she went and told the king. They asked her to do it. And then the king was going to kill him, and so she went back and hid him somewhere other than at her house, somewhere. And remember, she left the scarlet ribbon where or that came down from the wall wherever her place was. So she then, the king knew that she had the spies. Or that she, but she, any, even with that issue, she still saved those two men, saved the spies. Now, I probably didn't do it very well, but just consider the courage that it would have taken for her to have hid the spies, in which everyone in the village or in the city would want to kill. And so that faith is almost as much as the faith of Isaac. I mean, the faith of Abraham and Isaac. And that's called the work of faith. And it was done, as far as we know, before she became... She was converted to Judaism from whatever her religion was. Now, we can understand why that is probably the second most difficult work of faith, because it was almost suicide. So now we have two works of faith. Now let's go look at the other. Let's look at chapter. We won't go any more in James about it, but let's go to chapter 11 of Hebrews. Back to chapter 11. Now the reason we're talking about this is to find out whether we have the works. We have works of faith or faith only. Understand? The idea of faith is a verb, not a noun. That's why it's in these questionnaires you have to fill out. What is your faith? It's using faith as a noun instead of a verb. So faith, apparently, at least the ones we've studied, put first... the one you love more than anything in any place in the world... put that person at risk, and now we put the hiding of spies, which was the most detested thing in the world. So, chapter 11. Is this not interesting to anybody, or is it just me?
Oh, it's interesting.
Huh?
It is.
And nobody has any response to any of this.
It does seem a little like we'd be tested in different ways now. There's no warring, there's no sacrificial system, there's no... So our faith, I can see how it applies to us.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we have to see, is what are the works of faith, and are we just conning ourselves that we're living it? Maybe you don't care.
Based on your interpretation, I would be guilty of not doing works of faith, because I'm not repentant enough. I haven't gotten to the point where there's no repenting left. I'm not sanctified, so am I doing works? Am I just still on the road to where?
Well.
I listen to you, and your standards are very high.
Well, that's what the preaching of the cross is.
Yeah, I mean, and they, sometimes for me, they're almost unattainable, but I'm not discouraged. I'm still on that road, but it's
frustrating.
Right. It seems like it's attainable, but then I seem to lose it pretty fast.
I really
faith is something completely different than a commodity that we attain. It's, to me, faith is the working of God in and through us, and it has very little to do with us. Even Rahab, what motivated her to hide the spies? She was a good gal. What was her deal? She was moved by the hand of God to do that. And I think if you look in that context at every one of these faith scriptures, it's by faith, by not by what these Egyptians had that left Egypt. They didn't go out because they believed or anything. They went out because God caused them to go out. So faith is more what God does than what we do. I don't think we're in the picture.
And then you just dismiss everything we just read.
Maybe you didn't hear anything I said.
Well, my point to you is that, and again, I'm not just talking, I'm talking about the whole of the modern world faith, especially the Western world.
Yeah.
As opposed to the faith of those that ISIS just knocked their head off. All they would have had to do was to say, I don't believe, I'm not a Christian. So I mean, so they are justified by their works.
And what are their works? And what is that work when you don't say
they didn't deny the faith?
They don't lie. They continue to believe.
Well, many of them did lie.
Probably so.
The same is true with what happened in Russia and Eastern Europe when we were doing the Samizdat program. Many of the Christians just said, we're not Christians. Many of them were put in the worst gulag in the world, which is in Siberia. And they were put in there for their faith. And George Evans, the guy that we had a hand in getting released, was so disheartened by what he saw as Christianity in America, he wanted to go back to the gulag. We traded two Russian spies to get him freed. Now, so he was justified by his faith, by his works. He wasn't justified by faith, he was justified by his works that came from faith. And so it's much more than just saying God's doing it. You have a part in it. It's not, Christianity isn't sitting on our butts there's a real, and that's why we've talked lately about outside the camp. You bear his reproach outside the camp when you're publicly identified with the cross. And that will see whether or not you have any works.
Well, I've never been publicly identified outside the camp as a...
Well, I'm, again, when you're not sure that you believe, then you have to go through these...
So you're saying that you're not sure you believe, that's not directed at me, is it? Or is it just an overall statement?
No, I'm not talking about anybody here. I'm talking about the faith without works is dead.
Well, I've always thought that the only thing the mind can do is repent. That's what I've heard you say for years. So I repent often, and I would like to think that there's a point in my life where there's no there, and because of this absolute fervent repentance, that the Holy Spirit becomes part of my life, and that it's manifested in how my life is conducted, and I think that there would be works as a corollary of that.
Okay.
All right.
Let's Let's go to back to Hebrews chapter 11.
Go to 23 for a moment, if you will. Hebrews 11. 23 says, wait a minute.
By faith, Moses?
By faith, Moses.
When he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child or had a purpose. They were not afraid of the king's commandment.
So that's not anything to do with Moses. That has to do with his parents.
Yeah.
Well, but this is going... Well, let's go on. Let's...
See, why I'm going, faith is the word that captures us into thinking we have to now perform some acts that we call works that will justify us before God.
No, it says if you truly believe, this will happen.
Okay. And if you truly believe, then you are surrendered and given over to God, and Himself and works will happen.
Well, maybe. But they don't always happen. That's the point. They don't happen very often. That's the point. They don't happen very often in modern Christianity. That's the point. So, let's go down to verse 31. By faith the harlot Rahab perish not with them that believe not, when she received the spies with peace. And what shall I say more? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, and of Jephthah, and of David, and of Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskin and goatskin, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens of the and caves of the earth. All these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now we are living in a country that has just as many idols as Babylon ever had, but the church embraces it. That's why to be publicly identified with the doctrine of the cross, you're a threat to every form of thought in the universe. That's why you bear his reproach outside the camp, so your faith becomes works. It's not a...
And also, it's possible you may not have very many friends. A lot of people think you're a nut job, which is ridiculous. You're the mainstream guys.
Or you might be a nut job.
Well, again, we go back to this many times, and I've said it for 100 years, not for 40 years. If you are on trial for being a Christian, is there enough evidence to convict you? I mean, this is serious stuff. All right, go back to James. We stopped at verse 25. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. And I mean, this isn't just here for so we can read about history. It's here so we can live by faith, and that we bear his reproach outside the camp, that we are publicly identified with what we say we believe, that no one in your world would has any doubt about what you and who you are. I'm not talking about going and I'm just, it's the idea of seeing that the ways of the world are just pure sin. But now the Christian world has adopted the ways of the world. Well, let's go back one more to Hebrews. I think. No, where are we going? Oh, Hebrews, is it Hebrews 13? Yeah. Hebrews 13. Verse 10. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth, therefore, unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Now, the whole idea of bearing his reproach outside the camp is the basis of continuing with him in his temptation. Our temptations are gone. Supposedly, if we die and are buried in baptism, our things are gone. Now we must continue with him in his test, and that's outside the camp. You know, there's no test in the camp unless you're the preacher. This is not a light thing. This is incredibly important. That isn't. Let us go, therefore, outside the camp, bearing his reproach, so that the faith that you say you have is tested. We'll continue more in James another day, but I. The Psalms say, if you believe, you will speak. I believe, therefore I speak. What do you speak? You speak the vanity. What shall I say? That's answered in Isaiah. All flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is as a flower of the grass. It's vain, it's empty, it's worthless. All of the world's systems have zero purpose except to show you that they have no purpose. Well, these are the elements of the preaching of the cross. These are hard sayings. This is strong meat. But I promise you, it is never passive. All right. Anybody else? Take it, big guy.